All right. Good evening, everybody. This paper is about tracking changes in continuous emotional state using body language and prosody. The authors of this paper are working with the University of Southern California, SAIL Lab, when this work was done. So, yeah, there is a video here I would like to show you. It's an expressive interaction between two actors. There's no sound.
You can imagine.
This should work now.
Tell me something. Oh,
I am too busy. Too busy.
All right, so this was an example of expressive interaction between two actors. You can see that through the course of the time, there is a continuous evolving of body language expressions that evolve. At the same time, the emotional state of the two actors evolves through the course of the time. And we can see that it has, a variable intensity and clarity through the course of the time. So the focus of this work is first to examine what is the emotional content of these body language gestures and how are different body language gestures indicative of different underlying emotional states of the actors. And secondly, we want to use this body language and prosodic information in order to continuously track unfolding emotional changes through the course of time. For this method we will use, for this paper we will use pose the problem as a tracking problem, so we are trying to track the underlying emotional state through time. We will use a statistical mapping between the emotional state and the observed audiovisual cues, so for each given observed audiovisual cues we will try to track the underlying emotional state. The database that we use for this work is the USC Creative ID database. You just saw an example clip from this database. It's a multimodal and multidisciplinary database that was collected as a collaboration of the USC Engineering Department and the USC Theater School. And it consists of a variety of dyadic theatrical improvisations. We asked the actors from the theater school to come into our motion capture lab and play improvised theatrical plays or theatrical exercises. And at the same time, we suited them with motion capture. We placed markers in their bodies, as you can see. So we recorded them with video cameras, motion capture, and audio from close-up microphones. So more details about this database is in this website. But it's very important to keep in mind that it has a large variety of very expressive body language expressions. So now we wanted to have an annotation of the underlying emotional state of the two actors during their interaction, but we found that categorical emotional descriptors such as angry, happy, or sad are too restrictive to adequately describe the emotional state, the variety of the emotional states. So we went for dimensional emotional descriptors that are widely used in the emotional community. These descriptors are activation, which describes how excited versus calm is a person. It's valence, which describes how positive versus negative is the attitude of a person. And it's dominance, which describes how dominant versus submissive is a person in an interaction. Also, we didn't want to chop the recordings, the total recordings, into arbitrary segments because we didn't want to interrupt this continuous flow of audiovisual cues. So we decided to go for a continuous annotation through the course of the time of these emotional descriptors. So we use the FilTrace instrument, which is a software that allows people, as they watch a video, to give a continuous annotations of valence, activation, and dominance. And now I also want to show another demo of the use of FilTrace by three different annotators as they're watching the video to give a rating of the activation.
something.
I am too busy. Too busy.
Tell me something.
Too busy.
Tell me something.
I am too busy.
So as you can see, the three different people are giving the rating of the male actor. It seems reasonable, since in the beginning the actor is talking a lot, is moving a lot, while towards the end he's turning around and going into the end of the room and not talking a lot. So basically the activation decreases. Of course, we can see differences between different annotators, which brings us to our next issue, which is how do we define the different annotator agreements. So we noticed by examining our data that annotators tend to agree more on the correlation, on the trends. That is, they agree more on if an emotional attribute is increasing or decreasing or staying stable, rather than the absolute values of an emotional attribute. And this is expected since for humans it seems to be easier to classify emotion in relative terms, say if something is more activated or less activated, rather than absolute terms. So motivated by this, we decided to define evaluator agreement in this work as positive correlation of the different annotation curves. In this plot, you can see an example of annotation. In the blue lines is three different annotators annotating the recording through the course of time, and the red line is their mean annotation, which will be used as ground truth for our experiments. In this work, we're using around 30 different instances of people interacting. Now moving on to the body language feature extraction, we decided to extract a variety of body language features that we wanted to be intuitive and inspired from psychology so that they are well suited for analysis purposes. So we have two different types of features. One is absolute features that have to do with just one person. It has to do with body posture of that person and movement of that person. The second type of features are relative features of one person with respect to his interlocutor. So they have to do more with proxemics, touching the other person, looking at the other person or away, or approaching or avoiding the other person. And they're interesting because you need both people to extract these features, so they convey some information about this actor interaction. After that, we did statistical analysis. The purpose of that is to see how body language behavior changes in areas that the underlying emotional attribute either increases, decreases, or is staying stable. Specifically, we extracted 20 features in total. The features were extracted for the motion capture markers. They're in a geometrical fashion, in a straightforward manner. You can see a list of some of the features that we used. For example, there are some absolute features, such as the absolute velocity, and there are some relative features, such as the relative velocity of an actor with respect to the other actor. From these lower level features, we can define some higher level behaviors, body language behaviors. For example, take the relative velocity. If the velocity is positive, that means I'm moving towards the other person. If the velocity is negative, means I'm moving away from the other person, and it's very close to zero, means I'm not moving much. So by thresholding this value, I can infer these higher level behaviors about my approach avoidance towards the other person. And now we will do a statistical analysis of these higher-level behaviors. We will use our ground truth to select regions that we have. The ground truth is the estimation, the mean estimation of the different annotators. We'll select areas of increase, decrease, or stability of the emotional attribute, and then we statistically compare the body language behaviors in regions in these different regions. And we see if there's statistically significant difference in the body language behaviors. So we find meaningful results for the activation and the dominance emotional attributes. As an example, when we're comparing activation increase compared to activation decrease, we notice that when a person is increasing his activation, he tends to walk more, to move more towards the other person, move his hands more towards the other person. When his activation is decreasing, he moves more away from the other person and he hands touch each other more. When we're looking at the dominance increase versus dominance decrease, we see that when a person is increasing his dominance, tends to look towards the other person or lean towards the other person. While he's looking, where he's decreasing his dominance, he looks more away or he leans away from the other person. And this result seems intuitive, and they are in agreement with some qualitative results from psychology. Unfortunately, we're not able to find so intuitive behaviors for the valence attribute, which will reflect in our later results about tracking. And now let's go to the tracking part. I also have a video here. So our goal for the tracking experiment is using the observed audiovisual features to track the underlying emotional states, which is the red curve that you see here. The green curve is our estimation of the underlying emotional state through the course of the time. In this case, is the activation of the male actor for one of our recordings. So in order to do this, we used a Gaussian mixture model-based mapping that was used, among others, for the problem of articulatory to speech inversion. So it consists of finding a mapping between a continuous underlying emotional state at a specific time instance tau, that is denoted by X, and a continuous observed body language or prosodic feature, a set of features that are a specific time instance tau that are denoted by Y. We are modeling this joint distribution with a Gaussian mixture model. Therefore, the conditional distribution of the underlying emotional state given the observed audiovisual feature vector is going to be also a Gaussian mixture model, and therefore we will have the optimal maximum likelihood mapping if we select the underlying emotional state that maximizes the conditional probability of the underlying emotional state given the observed feature vector. This is an iterative process through expectation maximization algorithm, and it converges to the maximum likelihood mapping. In practice, we don't just want to use information about time instance stuff, but we want to take into account temporal context. In order to do this, we also use first and second derivatives, so we augment our feature vectors with those derivatives, and this enables us to take into account this temporal context and produce smoother emotional trajectory estimates. Now we would like to use not only body language, but also speech as our feature vector. However, since body language is relevant throughout the whole interaction, but audio cues are only relevant when the actor is speaking, and actually the actor is not speaking all the time, so we need to find a solution for this. So we decided to train two Gaussian mixture model mappings. One mapping is trained when the actor is not speaking. It's a visual GMM mapping, only using body features. The second is trained when the actor is speaking. It's an audiovisual GMM mapping using both body and speech features. So in a testing stage for each test recording, we chop it into consecutive overlapping segments, and in each segment we apply the appropriate mapping according to whether the speaker is the actor is speaking or not speaking in order to find the curve estimation. The audio features that we are using are pitch, energy, and Mel-Fertebang features. So here are some of our tracking results. You can see in this plot, the red line is the mean annotation. The blue line is the maximum likelihood estimation trajectory using only body features, and the green one is when using body and speech features together. This is one of our best results. We achieved a correlation between the ground truth and our estimation of the order of 0.8, which increased to 0.81 when we also used audio information. The second is a more medium result. We have a correlation between the ground truth and the blue line, which uses only body features, of around 0.4. When we use the audio features, we go to zero. We increase significantly to 0.5. And in general, what we can see from these two plots is that the two trajectories, they follow the trends of the underlying emotional states rather than the absolute values. So we can claim that we can track emotional changes rather than absolute emotional values. And this is in part explained by the fact that it's easier to quantify, as I already mentioned, emotion in relative terms rather than absolute terms. So now going to the overall results. We evaluate our performance of tracking changes by measuring the correlation between the ground truth and the estimated curve that we have. And as an upper bound to show the difficulty of the problem, we also show what's the inter-annotation correlation for one specific recording between the annotators. So these are our results. For the activation case, the median correlation between the ground truth and the visual MLE mapping is 0.31. When we use, this is the median correlation, when we use the audiovisual mapping, the correlation increases to 0.42. There's a significant increase. And the inter-annotation correlations are 0.55. So one could claim we're comparable to the annotations of humans. For dominance, our results are lower. The visual and the audiovisual mapping are similar. They're around 0.26, 0.23, while the inter-annotator correlations are 0.47. For the valence case, we're not able to track the changes. We have a median correlation around zero, and this is in agreement with our statistical results that where we were not able to show meaning that valence is meaningfully reflected through our features. So this leads us to our discussion of how observable are the underlying emotional states that we are trying to track through the features that we are extracting. It seems from our results that we are able to capture the activation changes of a person through the course of an actor through the course of time, some of the dominance changes, but we're not able to track the valence changes. This might mean that the body language and prosody may be more informative about the activation and the dominance states, while the valence state could be expressed through other modalities such as facial expressions or lexical content. Also could be the case that we need to do more detailed feature extraction specifically tailored for the valence attribute rather than using the same feature set for all three emotional attributes. This is one of the future work. So also we noticed that the use of prosodic cues greatly benefits activation tracking. The fact that vocal cues are beneficial for activation is a result that has already been seen in the emotion literature. And finally, our overall conclusion is that we can capture emotion changes rather than absolute emotion values with this framework. In terms of future work, we would like to focus on improving our features by extracting specifically features for each emotional attribute that we have. Also, we would like to improve the data annotation process in an attempt to achieve higher inter-evaluator agreement, so in order to have a more consistent ground truth. And as a long-term goal, we want to work towards continuous monitoring of emotional states that will enable us through the course of time to find regions where we have an increase of the activation, for example, of a person. So find regions where something interesting happened, or else we can say those are the emotionally salient regions of an interaction. These are the references that I have used for this presentation, and
okay, thank you.
Thank you for your attention.
Unfortunately, we are a little in delay, so I suggest that you start to look. Okay, so as we have to set on the next demonstration, we can have one question.